Welcome to Confessions of a Cyber Psychologist. Today, I am chatting with Professor Andrew Campbell about the 2025 Cyber Psychology Conference in Sydney from 15th to 17th of July. Andrew is the head of the Cyber Psychology Research Group at the University of Sydney and the co-host of the 2025 Cyber Psychology Conference, known as SciSci, now in its 28th year. Welcome, Andrew. I'm so delighted to have you back on board.
Thank you for having me again, Caroline. It's delightful to be here.
Andrew, today we're going to be chatting about the Cyber Psychology, Cyber Therapy and Social Networking Conference known as SciSci 28 that you and your team are hosting in Sydney, Australia from 15th to 17th of July. This is the first time that the SciSci Conference has been held in Australia. You must be so excited about this.
Oh, we're over the moon. It's been one of those conferences that I've been fortunate enough to attend in many different countries around the world, and I've always really wanted to be able to have it here in Australia. And it was only a dream to think that I'd be involved in hosting. We have a wonderful organization that's the main sponsor for the conference called ID Care. And they're involved in helping people who are cyber victims of crime, particularly around scams. And they really do help everybody as a charity across Australia and New Zealand and now into the Pacific. And they saw quite early on in working with us in the Cyber Psychology Research Group at Sydney, that there's a huge global community here of invested psychologists and human factors people that want to actually apply cyber psychology to the world's problems. And what better than have a world conference to bring those great people together, academics, industry, students, and those who are looking for careers. So to have it in Australia and to have it in my hometown of Sydney, it's a dream come true.
And Sydney's such a beautiful city. With the apparently, it's the biggest natural harbour in the world.
I've heard this, and having lived here most of my entire life, I can't get my head around that. There's so many beautiful harbours, but yes, Sydney as a natural harbour is stunning. We actually have whales that do come into the harbour throughout the year. It's more a springtime thing, but when the conference is being held, it's just not just coming into that type of season. We've got the bridge, we've got the opera house, we have so much culture and food. Honestly, I'm really looking forward to showing off. But yeah, Sydney is a spectacular venue and we really hope to entertain as well as educate people when they're here.
So where exactly in Sydney will the conference be held?
The conference is going to be held at the Sofitel Wentworth Hotel in Sydney. This is an older hotel. And when I say older, it's historic, meaning it was one of the earlier hotels in the business district of Sydney. It's a 5-minute walk from the Opera House, 5 minutes from the Harbour Bridge, 5 minutes from the Botanic Gardens, 5 minutes to everywhere by foot. So we chose that because of its central location. It has just had in 2024 a $70 million upgrade. So all the new rooms, all the event halls, everything is gleaming modern in this classic old building that used to be the home of Qantas staff personnel doing layovers, but now is a very luxurious hotel. So we're extremely fortunate to have them partner with us and host us for the SciSci 28 event.
And the great thing about Sydney is you can pretty much walk everywhere. And it's not all that big a city, so there's lots to see and lots that you can do on foot, and it's pretty flat. So it's just a beautiful place to wander around in between events and in the evenings. It's a fabulous city.
We've got light rail now as well, right down the main streets. Everything is tap on, tap off, as you would find in any major city. It's not difficult to get around. And quite frankly, if you're coming to the conference, even though the conference is only 15th to the 17th, plan some extra time. There is a lot to do here. A week may not be enough, but I understand it's a long way to come. Sometimes cost is a concern, but I've got to be honest with you. I'm going to try and give some tips later on how to make it quite cheap to come down here as well.
Are there any pre and post conference activities and events planned? So should delegates plan to arrive a few days before and stay a few days after, other than touristy stuff?
Look, the conference has got events planned, definitely, but our pre-conference events are really our workshops. If we're looking to do things as a group, I would stay back after the conference by an extra day because, quite frankly, myself and a lot of the SciSci team would be available to actually then do some extra things like going to Taronga Zoo, which is a beautiful zoo, very similar to San Diego Zoo in a lot of ways, but it's right on the harbour. We've got the Sydney Harbour Bridge bridge climb. You can climb our bridge and photograph the Opera House of about 1,000 feet. It is extraordinary the things you can do in Sydney, going up Centre Point Tower and seeing out to the Blue Mountains. And for those who didn't know, yes, we actually have mountains in Sydney. There are so many things you can do that are right in the city and will not cost a lot of money at all. But for those who really want to tour the country, please remember we're a pretty big island. So it's going to take a good week or two to travel around Australia. It's really up to the person's budget and time that they've got. But we're coming into the middle of the winter season. And the one thing I wanted to point out was while we're wintering in Sydney, it's not a bad time. It's like a European spring. It's usually dry. It's usually very cool, and nights are cold, but it's cool during the day. You can walk around in sunny areas, eat outdoors al fresco, and there's plenty of places to travel quite happily without worrying too much about rain and bad weather.
And just talking about the Blue Mountains, a lot of the vineyards are up that way, aren't they? And there's tours up there.
We've got vineyards up towards the Blue Mountains, but that's more a bit to the north in a place called the Hunter Valley. So if you're really into wines, I would probably spend an extra 3 days in Sydney and do a wine tour out to the Hunter Valley.
Yeah, I've done one of those tours. It's brilliant. It's really good fun.
Fantastic.
How can delegates register for the conference, and where can they find prices and deadline dates for registering?
Everything you could possibly want is on the website, cysy28.com. So that's CYPSY28.com. We've got the prices up there. And just to give you a little bit of background, I mentioned I got a tip on some cheap travel. If you use an Australian website, and we have no affiliation with this website at all, this company, but it's very well known to Australians traveling to Europe and traveling to America, so it will work just the other way around, is you're looking for cheap trips, go to webjet.com.au. And just before we did this interview today, I actually hopped on. I looked at return trips to London from Sydney and return trips from Los Angeles to Sydney. And we were looking at prices as around £1,200 to £1,600 for British pound sterling. And for the US, it was around about $1,500 to $1,400 US return. And that's direct to Sydney. So we're looking at some pretty good routes there, but there are actually even cheaper routes if you're willing to do a stopover somewhere. If you're going through Singapore to Australia or Abu Dhabi, if you're coming from America, coming via Hawaii or even New Zealand, can actually be cheaper as well.
And there are some decent hotels nearby the conference that people can book into if they are budget conscious as well.
Absolutely. So we've reserved a good number of rooms at a very competitive rate to be in the hotel at $330 Australian a day. So putting that into British pounds is about £200 a day. In US dollars, probably around the same, about $220 US a day. But around Sydney, there is countless hotels at much cheaper prices if you don't want to stay at the conference hotel and you're on a shoestring budget, as we know a lot of our students might be that'll be coming to the conference as well. And so there's youth hotels, and they're the cheapest of them all, like $80 a day, Australian dollars. But if you want something a little bit more upmarket, I would actually go over to North Sydney, which is 5 minutes away from Sydney itself, across the bridge. And you can actually catch a train straight in, catch the ferry straight in, ride a bike in, walk in. It's about distance. That's the only thing you're looking at. So the further away you stay from the conference hotel, the cheaper it'll be. But we've put it in the central part of Sydney because we want people to be able to walk everywhere to the attractions.
And you could even catch a boat if you stay on the north side.
If you're on the north side, you'll definitely be catching boats. I live on the north side. Everybody catch boats across, and they're dirt cheap, you know, $3 each way. It's not that much.
It's fabulous fun coming into Sydney on a boat.
It is.
Do you have any headline speakers yet?
Yes. So our number one headline speaker is Monica Whitty, Professor Monica Whitty. She's the world expert on romance scams. Now, she's worked throughout a myriad of United Kingdom universities and I believe Queen's University, Belfast. I think she was there as well. So she'd been in Ireland. But she's homegrown Australian. She actually graduated from Macquarie University. She's now at Monash University. She leads the information systems department down there in cybersecurity. And she is just an all-around amazing speaker with untold stories of how people are manipulated online through emotional manipulation. So if you're very much interested in how that work is being carried out, what's being done in the field, and understanding the psychology of manipulating emotions through the internet itself. So if you're interested in social media and fake news and so on, she's going to be a fantastic person to listen to. We've got some other speakers that are coming. I can't announce them right now, unfortunately, but if you stay tuned to SciSci28 website, within 2 weeks, you'll see some big names coming from overseas. But that's our key line at the moment. We've also got workshops, and the workshops are pretty much, I could say, a bit premium because we don't have a lot of space. There's been a lot of demand for them. We'll be having workshops on the cyber psychology of deception. Workshops on new cyber interventions from the United States. We're going to have potentially a workshop on cyber therapies. If you're a clinician and you want to know about how to use the latest in VR equipment, we're looking to have that. And there's a fourth one coming as well, but I can't talk about that just yet. But they're all coming on the first day of the conference. So it'll be limited seats for that one because of the rooms we've got and the activities we're doing. And we're going to make sure that they've got clinical professional development points attached for those who want to use it for the BPS, the APA in America, the APS in Australia, or any other psychological organization or even computer organizations as well.
And if someone wants updates, regular updates of things that are happening, can they register for emails or things from the website?
Absolutely. The easiest way to stay in touch with us right now is put an expression of interest in the conference on the website. It's a simple link. Click on the EOI, put your details in. You'll get a weekly to bi-weekly newsletter, and you'll also get updates from us through other mediums that we're actually going to be using in a little bit more succession as the conference grows, in particularly SciSci28 on Instagram, which has really just launched in the last week. You're going to see a few other things on LinkedIn that are coming up. In fact, they've been going on LinkedIn quite already, but I think the best avenue is the SciSci28.com website and put in your expression of interest and get on the newsletter.
So what is the main aim of the conference?
So this year, every year the SciSci runs, we have a special theme. This year is all about cybersecurity, health and society. We want to understand how privacy, fake news, victims of crime online can actually be thwarted. How can we actually help people in situations where data is being taken or they're being manipulated? But that's just one core of the conference. The standard areas of the conference being around clinical areas, such as the use of AI, VR, augmented reality, understanding social media's impact on young people, and also looking at new innovations in mental health for stay-at-home aged care, dementia care, and things like that, neuropsychology, brain tech. All of these things are at the conference as well. The main thing we want to get is a community to cross-pollinate with each other around all these wonderful multidisciplinary skills they bring to the table. And every single SciSci conference I've ever attended, that's exactly what happens. You meet people outside the box and you meet people inside the box and you form these incredible lasting relationships that will, I guarantee you, help you in your career.
And that's the thing with cyber psychology is that there's so many people in different areas and it's still quite a smallish discipline in comparison to every other discipline in psychology. So meeting people across globe is a great way to actually build that network and relationships.
Absolutely. And if you're passionate about technology and human behavior, and that's where you start with your interest, and whether that then moves into cybersecurity or clinical applications or even techno-ethics and philosophy, which has been a newer area that we've had come to the conference, this is your tribe. This is the group of people you want to come and meet, because I can assure you they're going to stay in contact with you. They're going to leverage your experience with their experience, and the relationships you make really do form these lasting friendships and careers. And on that note, one of the things we are really proud of promoting at the conference is for those starting out their careers. Maybe they're still doing their undergrad, maybe they're doing their master's or their PhD, an honors student with a new project. Please come. We'll have people talking about careers. We're going to have some career booths as well, both in cybersecurity and the clinical areas, and some of the finance areas as well, if you're interested in going down that path. But the main thing is this is a think tank, a community, a growth field, and a disciplinary growth field that we want to share with as many people interested.
Andrew, what are the plans for the 3 days? So will there be a main speaker hall with a number of breakout rooms? Will there be workshops or just talks? Basically, what should someone expect from attending the conference if they've never been to one of these before?
I think if you're coming for the very first time, you're going to have a lot of choices. On the very first day, we've got our workshops and our welcome ceremony, which is a welcome to country with some canapes. On the second day, we have all our oral presentations and breakout rooms around specific streams. If you're into cybersecurity topics, if you're into cyber psychology, clinical work, there'll be specific streams for those. We have our keynote at the lunchtime session. In the evening, we have the gala dinner, which is a absolutely magnificent cruise on a chartered boat in Sydney Harbour. You'll have cocktails, canapes, three-course meal. It's wearing your finery. It's cocktail dresses and black tie. All lit up Sydney Harbour at nighttime. Absolutely something you want to get into. On the final day, we have more oral presentations in the morning, and poster session, and then finally our last keynote and the closing ceremony where we give awards for best presentations, best poster, and the Lifetime Achievement Award for the person who's done the most in cyber psychology at the global level. This concludes with us also announcing where SciSci 29 will be held in 2026.
Why should someone attend the CyberSci 28 conference?
I think if your main reason for coming was I want to learn about cyber psychology, you'll get that. But I think the main reason you should come is to really make incredible contacts, to grow your network, whether it be in industry, clinical practice, or if you're an academic, grow your global networks in this absolutely essential field for the 21st century. Looking at how human behavior impacts technology from all the different lenses and disciplines we have out there, from finance, health, security, as I've already mentioned, defense, we have a number of defense officials coming, politics, ethics, philosophy, engineering, and general science. This is one to come and really learn how your discipline fits into the world of cyber psychology. And I think you'll find that there are so many opportunities to then collaborate with these amazing people.
Andrew, what are the key themes or topics that you're specifically focusing on at the conference?
We've got four key themes that we're focusing on: cybersecurity, human factors. What are the things about human beings that are causing great big data breaches all being scammed? We're looking also specifically at victims of crime, so scams and cybercrime behavior, and how do we disrupt them? Are we going to use more technology to disrupt them, or are we really going to look at human factors to disrupt online scams? If you're working in the clinical sectors and the industry areas outside of cybersecurity, I would be looking at the applied cyber psychology in health and society. This looks at it from philosophy, ethics, as well as how do we have better evidence base of using technology for therapies. And then we've got a whole new area called advancing technologies and global impacts. This is really where we're looking strongly at what is coming, such as what are the next levels of AI? What are we looking at engineering and science? Automation, self-driverless cars, all those things. So they're the main focus points that you'll get some benefits from this conference.
What kind of submissions are you looking for, and when is the deadline for accepting submissions for the conference?
We have a number of areas of submission under those four that I just mentioned, and it really is so broad, from psychology to computer science, philosophy, ethics, and various others I've already mentioned. So it's good to hop on the website, look at all the areas that we're actually looking for presentations in, and please know that we're looking at 400-word abstracts. Simply put, is give us a blurb on what your research is about, why you feel it's good to talk about it. Most importantly, results. If you've got some results, we really want to know those. That's what teaches people about the latest trends in the science, and also helps you collaborate with those in like-minded fields. The closing date is February 13th, 2025. It's a very short time away. So please get your abstracts in. We want to get the agenda up on the website very soon after that. If you're accepted, you'll either be allocated to do a 15-minute presentation with some question and answer time from the audience, or you'll be given a poster presentation. We find that those who don't have a lot of data tend to end up with a poster session. Those with some data and they've got some new findings will most likely get the oral. But we have a scientific committee that will review everybody blind, and it's a double blind system. So there's two academics around the world. You can read our scientific committee listings on the website right now. And so I would definitely start thinking, who am I writing for? Because we'll be assigning to those people's specialties. And keep in mind that an abstract should be nice and short. If you can get it under 400 words, that'd be great. Make sure you've got your usual subjects, results, and discussion part at the end. And I think you'll probably have a good time getting in.
Andrew, you spoke about the conference being a really great networking opportunity, but who normally attends the SciSci conferences?
So what we've found from previous years, and I'll just use this year's in Arizona and the year before, which we had in Paris, we have a lot of tech companies. In this case, in Australia this time, we're going to be having finance companies, cybersecurity firms, AI companies and AI startups. We're also having a lot of academics from around the world that will be coming with research connections to National Institutes of Health, World Health Organization. Essentially, we're representing four pillars of the world's innovation, and that is the academic sector, the startup sector, the established finance industries, and then we're looking at individual and private citizens that are bringing their ideas. So there's lots of opportunities here for venture capitalists to also come. But to be honest, the main thing here is about the scientists. We want the scientists to commit to connect with those who can actually fund their research and see ways that they can actually benefit from the research itself. So we're very much about applied cyber psychology.
What are the main benefits of attending the conference?
So the main benefits of attending this conference would be, one, you're going to meet a tremendous amount of people around the world in one location. We normally have anywhere up to 300 or 400 delegates that come around the world to speak at these conferences, to meet others at these conferences, and to even invest in people's research. The number two thing I would think, particularly if you're a student and you're just starting out in your field, this is your ticket to getting avenues to careers. So careers, 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 that's something we're very focused about at this particular conference in particular. We want to help the next generation. We want to grow the field. So we're looking at ways to support their research, support their degrees, and get them into the jobs in the future economy, in the future industries.
Andrew, it takes a huge amount of work to put together a conference like this. What do you hope the outcomes will be from the event, both for Sydney University Cyber Psychology Research Group and for cyber psychology in general?
For me, being in this field for so long, I sometimes lose sight of what is the current focus for getting cyber psychology known. But what I feel from when I talk to potential clients that are coming, or potential attendees, I should say, is they want to grow the field into a more of a public space. We've been in a niche field for quite some time where we don't have a banner of our own, such as like chemistry or computer science, you know, those sorts of banners. And so understanding that this transdisciplinary and multidisciplinary field exists with multiple skilled individuals that can actually bring human behavior science and computer science together and actually help to solve some of the world's problems. That's the one thing I think that we need to grow. And that's what I particularly hope that SciSci 28 will achieve by bringing the Southern Hemisphere this time more towards the Northern Hemisphere, because we haven't had a conference in the Southern Hemisphere before. And we're hoping that we'll have a lot more countries in the Asia Pacific region attend and connect now with the European colleagues we've got and the North American colleagues.
Andrew, there's so much new technology that's coming down the pipeline at super speed. So how do you see this conference shaping the future of cyber psychology?
I think the one thing, and I've seen this over a couple of conferences now, is that we often bring something to the table that wasn't thought of by engineers. And that's not to say the engineers don't have brilliant minds. I'm certainly not saying that. It's more a case of, have you thought about this angle of producing a product that actually could be more successful at market if you account for these human factors? So those sorts of connections, those sorts of discussions that often happen just in the corridors, not actually even in the seminars themselves, are the biggest takeaways and have been so fruitful for so many of my encounters across my career as well. So I think that that would be what the number one thing is those corridor conversations.
And creating those connections that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so, and that's really what advances the whole discipline and cyber psychology in general is building those connections and building the network.
It's ironic when you say it, because here we are, we work in technology and we're doing this across myriads of miles, this particular interview, you know, you in London and me in Sydney right now, but there is nothing better than the personal touch and having the time and the space to sit down and really think and talk, have something to eat, have a laugh, enjoy a few drinks. And honestly, magic happens. The relationships I've formed through SciSci from 2011 onwards have stayed rock solid and just continue to keep growing. I'm over the moon to be a co-host for this event, but I'm particularly proud of how stable this community has been across its 28 years, being at so many conferences around the world.
Yeah, it's going to be a brilliant conference. And it's definitely, you have to be there. If you're listening to this, you have to be there.
Please have them on there.
Andrew, thank you so much for joining me on Confessions of a Cyber Psychologist. It was so fabulous to catch up with you again. And I really look forward to chatting to you again in the future.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.